All right, it is 10 a.m. on April 10th, 2020. This is the time and date scheduled for a telephone conference in OAH file numbers 2020-0007 and 2020-0008. This is PSC case numbers PU-19-376 and PU-19-377. These are applications of Northern Divide Wind LLC for certificate of site compatibility, proposing to build an up to 74 wind turbines in Burke County and an associated certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for a 41-mile transmission line. These cases have been consolidated for the purpose of hearing, and the hearing is scheduled for next week, Friday, April 17, 2020. Appearing for this telephone conference this morning is attorney Casey Fury, and she's appearing on behalf of the applicant, Northern Divide Wind LLC, Tracy Davis, senior counsel for NextEra. Special Assistant Attorney General Brian Schmidt is appearing on behalf of the PSC. And finally, Kevin Pranis is appearing on behalf of the Laborers District Council for Minnesota and North Dakota, who has filed a motion to intervene in this case. So the primary reason why this conference was scheduled was to discuss the hearing procedure for next week's hearing. Due to the COVID-19 state of emergency, the PSC has modified the location of this hearing from an in-person public hearing in Bowbells, North Dakota, to an electronic public hearing. I will tell the parties that I had a very short conversation with Mr. Hsu a few weeks ago about possible hearing modifications, but I have not spoken with anyone from the PSC regarding any final decisions about how this hearing will be handled. I would note that the PSC issued yesterday, April 9th, 2020, an amended notice of filing and consolidated hearings, which outlines some of the parameters for the hearings. So I'm going to start with you, Mr. Schmidt. If you want to go through how the PSC is wanting this hearing to proceed.
Sure. The amended notice that was filed and dated yesterday lays out how the PSC intends to receive public testimony in this case, which really is the global concern that we have with this, to ensure the public gets to be heard during this proceeding. That's all outlined in that amended notice. The written testimony can be sent by either electronic means or to the commission's physical address. And individuals are going to have the opportunity to call in and be put on a list, and then public testimony will be taken telephonically after NextEra finishes presenting its case. I guess those issues are things we're probably going to just end up kind of having to deal with at the hearing, but the primary issue, I think, as far as today's conference goes, is how the parties and the potential intervener are going to be attending this hearing. I can tell you that yesterday's special meeting was set up through GoToMeeting, and that's what the commission's been using. Essentially, and the way I attended it was I email out a link, and you click on the link, and there's a software program that just automatically downloads. It works on Apple products, and I used my Microsoft Surface yesterday, and I didn't have any issues getting connected from my office. So I believe that's the route that we're going to go as far as the ALJ, Ms. Fury, myself, whoever else may be appearing at the hearing for the intervener. And I think we're going to try to do the same with the witnesses. So we'll at least have a video feed so we can see who we're talking to. The primary thing that will probably cause some potential issues are going to be hearing exhibits. Ms. Fury and I have spoken quite a bit about how to facilitate that process, and I I know that the company intends to have everything filed on the docket ahead of time, so there's going to be an electronic copy there. But I guess the other thing that I think would be beneficial, at least for the judge and myself, and I guess any of the parties and the commissioners too, is going to be to have a paper copy available during the hearing, so we can flip back and forth. Because I know that if I have my computer set up for a video conference hearing, it's going to be rather difficult to access electronic documents at the same time. So I think that's going to be one of the hurdles that we're going to have to get through. The other one is going to be ensuring that when we're in the meeting, if we're not talking, that our mics are muted so we don't have a bunch of background noise going on. Ms. Fury and Jack Shu and I have had some conversations about trying to do a dry run with the technology that we're intending to use sometime next week, just to kind of get a feel for everything, see if there's any additional bugs that we need to get worked out, and just essentially get a feel for how this is going to work. They do have a hearing next Tuesday on a rather small project, which I don't anticipate there being a substantial amount of public testimony or anything like that. But there's obviously going to be a fairly large public interest in this hearing. I know the first go-around we had about 100 people attend, and if we're doing this by remote means, I presume there'll be plenty of people watching live online and also calling in to listen to the testimony. So I think just getting some clear parameters as to what the attendees need to do to ensure we're not getting a bunch of background noise from their end is going to be important. And I'm hopeful that the IT department at the PSC is going to have a solution for that, so it doesn't come down to us constantly having to remind people to mute their mics. But it may be helpful to at least have an instruction read out to everyone ahead of time explaining how the software works, if that's how they're going to be attending the meeting, and just basically to try to keep this as seamless as possible, even though we understand there's probably going to be some unforeseen hiccups as we go through it.
So, Mr. Schmidt, will the public attend the meeting like any other participant?
So,
or is there any way to just have them view the meeting without being technically a participant?
Yeah, and I think the way that this link is set up, it's on that agenda. My thought is it's going to be streamed to them, so they're not going to be necessarily part of the meeting. At least that's my hope.
Okay.
I'm just looking here. I need to compare the link that's published to the one that I got yesterday. I do think they're different, but let me just check, because it would certainly be my preference that the public can view it basically like they're watching a television show, where we don't have to worry about intervention or anything like that. But I do know with the telephone line, they are initially automatically muted, but you can unmute that telephone line.
Okay.
If you press a certain key code, and I think it differs based on the meeting. But we're just going to want to make sure that we're not getting any background noise from people who shouldn't be talking at that time.
Right. Yeah, because I would think if they're just streaming it and not an actual participant, that should address the background noise and microphone issue with any people from the public viewing it, hopefully. But this is not my area of expertise, so.
Yeah, and I do know that yesterday during our special meeting, the individual who was operating it from the PSC had the ability to mute people and take their cameras off. So I think we are going to have a centralized option of doing that as well.
Okay. The hearing that they have on Tuesday, do they plan on using this type of platform for that hearing as well?
That's my understanding.
Okay. So they don't envision anybody actually appearing at the hearing room for this hearing?
Correct.
Okay. And I guess from my perspective, the other thing I need to know is how they're going to get me the list of people or connecting the people that want to provide telephonic testimony.
Yeah, and, you know, I that's going to be something that we're, that's one of the details I think we still need to iron out.
Okay.
And I will try to get you an answer on that. Okay. I know the intent, it would be just, we're going to try to handle it kind of just like any other hearing, where people, you know, throughout the course of listening to what comes up, they may decide that I want to throw in my two cents. And, you know, the intent of this is to keep it as much like a normal hearing as we possibly can. Just with preserving, you know, obviously the social distancing and stuff like that, keeping people out of the same room. So, you know, I think there's a good chance that people will be calling into the number during the hearing to be put on the list, mm-hmm. but I don't think we're going to have, per se, a predetermined list of who's going to speak and when they're going to speak. I think there's going to be someone manning the phones up at the PSC throughout the course of the day.
Okay.
Numbers, and it's just going to be a matter of getting that information to you, and I guess whatever means is going to be best. And do you have a preference?
Well, not really. I mean, I think they could even probably just email it to me. I plan to be in my office, and I've got double screens, so I can access other stuff while having the meeting up at the same time. I assume there's going to be somebody at the PSC that's going to be calling the parties?
Yes, that's the intent.
Okay.
I think we'll probably be at your prompt at which when, but it would be ideal to at least have it, I don't know, probably go in the order or whatever the list is, so we're not searching around for, you know, certain people on the list and, you know, just wasting time that's not necessary. You know, I mean, this is probably not going to be a two-hour hearing.
Right.
The time that we have is valuable. So, you know, I think that would probably be the ideal way to go. I think all the things that we talked about at the previous status conference would still apply as far as stating your name, where you live, all those things that we discussed previously.
Sure.
Would all still be applicable here, and probably even more important, to be quite honest with you, because we're not going to have that face-to-face interaction with the individuals.
Right. Well, and I would, I think my plan would be to just call people back in the order that they call in and put their name on the list. So I guess the issue is going to be is if they don't answer when we call them back. So.
Yeah, and I think we did talk about that, and no, I think if we call and you don't answer, you're going to get put to the bottom of the list.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
I can say just for, I don't know if it works for this one, but we were just on a pipeline hearing call with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and they used a service that allowed everyone to call in telephonically and then stay on the line, and then the moderator could unmute people in the order that they queued up, requested they would press *3 to if they wanted to comment, and then when it came time for comment, the moderator could unmute them and then remute them after their comment was done, so that they would, and I don't know if that's feasible for this time, but it's certainly, of all the things I've been part of since this COVID issue came up, it was the cleanest execution.
Okay. Thank you. That was Mr. Peranis, correct?
Yes, sorry, Mr. Peranis.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I don't necessarily have a preference one way or the other about how we handle this. We just all need to be on the same page on how it's going to be, what the plan is, at least going in and knowing there might be hiccups the day of. So, you know, some of it I think is what some of the answer is what the PSC can facilitate with the technology or they have there. So it's probably, you know, it starts with, I think, the PSC's IT and how they can facilitate it more than anything.
And I think that's still one of the things that they're trying to hammer out. I think the Mr. Pranis's proposal, it certainly makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
We could do it that way.
We could certainly find out. I don't know what service they use, but we could easily find that out today and let you know whether for this or future hearings. it worked pretty well.
Right, and I do know that there's a telephone number that people are to call in if they want to listen to it telephonically, mm-hmm. and it has a room code on it, and I called it, I believe it was the same number for a work session earlier this week where I participated telephonically, and all I had to do to be unmuted was, I think it was press *2 or *9 or something like that. And at that point, I was in the conversation, but I don't know if the moderator had any control over who was muting it and who wasn't muting it at that time. I think that was kind of individual to the phone line, and that's probably something we want to avoid, not necessarily saying that a bunch of people are going to be piping up when they're not supposed to, but that risk would certainly present itself, especially if you have 100 people on the line or whatever it ends up being.
Right, and the more people you have, I think that raises the percentage of people that probably aren't going to know how to use some of this technology. So
we'll mute their phone, and then we'll be hearing all their conversations
right.
for an hour.
Right, and not even on purpose. They just won't know how to do it. So.
And that's the risk. So if there's a way to moderate that through this phone line, I think that's worthwhile. If there's not, I think we're going to be better off just calling people individually, and if they don't answer, we just move on to the next one and put them at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. I think with that route, you know, we have a little bit more control about who's able to speak and who's not at any given time. So, but like I said, you know, I'm willing to do whatever or whatever the parties and the PSC is going to think will work to facilitate it. So, Ms. Fury, did you have anything to add?
No, it seems like just some of these aspects are still a little fluid and the PSC is kind of just working to figure them out. My understanding with respect to that phone number that has the room code is that there is a global mute function that PSC IT can kind of invoke, and it just mutes all the participants on the line, and then they have the ability to kind of override that global mute. So that's kind of along the lines of, you know, participants being able to just unmute themselves at various times. My understanding is, though, that the IT would be able to then, if, say, a caller just happened to unmute themselves numerous times throughout the proceeding, would have the ability to then disconnect that particular caller from the call-in. So it does seem that there are various different functions that IT would have available to kind of regulate the call-in aspect with respect to the mute concerns and abilities, at least to my knowledge.
What do the parties think about maybe having another telephone conference on Wednesday sometime, and then, you know, the PSC has their hearing on Tuesday, so they'll be able to try out some of this and see how it goes, and maybe some of these other details will be ironed out by then?
I think that's a good idea. I would even probably go so far as to propose that we use the Global Meet for our next conference, just to kind of give it a dry run to make sure it works for everyone, as opposed to just doing it by telephone.
Yeah, Mr. Schmidt, this is Casey. We have a number of parties on behalf of Northern Divide Win that will be appearing through the GoTo actual video platform in various locations, just, you know, due to the travel kind of concerns with COVID. And so it would be helpful if we could certainly do a kind of mock run through with that larger group that we have. And the sooner, the better from our perspective, just to make sure that, you know, everyone's computers can, you know, they don't have any bugs with respect to even downloading the platform, and just making sure that, you know, all the parties at the same time are able to kind of access the meeting. So our hope would be to do kind of a dry run through as soon as possible next week.
I'd agree. This is Kevin. I've discovered the audio on my laptop is terrible for Zoom calls if I don't have a microphone. So it could be that there could be witnesses who would discover that their audio is bad prior to the hearing.
That's a good point. Okay, so what should we set a date and time for that? I mean, I would like to do it after the PSC's hearing, but if the parties want to do it before that, I mean, we could look at doing it on Monday or later on Tuesday or Wednesday.
I think Wednesday would give us enough time to adjust. I mean, if we were having problems, but we're flexible.
Ms. Fury, how do you feel about Wednesday?
That works fine, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Schmidt?
Yeah, I'm available Wednesday.
Okay, I've got a pre-hearing conference at 9 o'clock, which shouldn't last more than 20 minutes, half an hour, so I could do any time between 9:30 and noon.
Any time during that frame works for me.
Ms. Fury?
I'm flexible as well. Ms. Davis, do you have any constraints during that time?
No, that time is fine for me. Thank you.
Mr. Pranis, are you available?
Yes.
Okay, so let's plan on Wednesday at 10 a.m. And then, Mr. Schmidt, can you facilitate sending out the link for the meeting?
Yep, I will work with the people up at the PSC and try to get a link lined up for that, so we can give it a dry run and see if there's any bugs we need to work out ahead of the hearing. But I'll do my best to get it to be as close to what we're going to experience on next Friday as possible.
Great. Are there any other issues or things the parties want to discuss about the hearing?
I have several additional items, Your Honor.
Go ahead, Ms. Fury.
I know Mr. Schmidt commented on a few of them. Just with respect to the public comment portion of the meeting, just ensuring that those that are providing comment state and spell their name for the record. It'd be helpful also if they could just indicate whether or not they're a participant in either the wind project or the transmission project. And then also just identifying what county and township that they live in would be helpful.
And township.
And then with respect to the exhibits, we had filed a proposed exhibit list on April 1st. And since that time, there have been several items that have been docketed in the project's online PSC dockets, not by Northern Divide Winds, but by other either agencies or other parties providing comments with respect to the project. And we would propose to also include those as exhibits. It's possible that there may be some additional similar type of letters that are received by the commission before the hearing. And so we would propose to file an updated exhibit list on Thursday prior to the hearing. It wouldn't contain any necessarily new information from Northern Divide Wind. It would just list those items that have subsequently been docketed in the project dockets.
That would be great. Mr. Schmidt, is that acceptable to you?
That's fine. I guess one thing that I actually got this, was speaking with another attorney that I have a hearing on the following week in light of the remote nature of these, and I'll leave this up to you, Ms. Fury, but the proposal was to bait stamp all of the exhibit numbers, so instead of searching through and telling people, you know, exhibit 14, appendix A, page 3, it would just be one continuous bait stamp track that we'd be going off of, so we could just tell people, you know, page 1,463 or something like that, which would also be, you know, exhibit 13 or something like that. But to have a bait stamp on the exhibits that we're actually offering into the record, just for simplicity purposes, and I'll leave it up to you if you want to do that, but I heard that idea, and I thought it was actually pretty good. I know we do that in a lot of other administrative settings as well when we have a lot of documentation, and it generally helps facilitate everyone being on the same page much easier.
No, I think that's a good idea. My only concern with that is kind of given now the timing of the hearing and providing all of that material. I know the commissioners review the filings as we submit them and then mark on those, and so I don't know if it would be difficult then for the commission to have a whole separate set of duplicate information just bait stamped a different manner than in which they currently have it and have marked and reviewed it. I know the commission has previously expressed concerns about us submitting duplicate information as far as hearing exhibits. So I guess that would be my only concern, is just with respect to timing now and likely the review of the materials as we've submitted them. Our proposal was to, in the exhibit list, indicate the exhibit number and then also cross-reference the document's respective docket ID number, which is stamped on the filings that the commission receives. And so in referencing the exhibit number, we certainly could just very easily also identify its respective docket number as well, because my understanding is that's how the commission kind of reviews and marks their items.
Yeah, I guess my biggest concern, it comes with the maps, because we're going to be flipping through a lot of maps, and when everyone's not in the same room, we're going to have, a situation where we're going to have figure 3-1 map 17 of 36 or something like that. And if we have base stamps, we're going to take a lot of the confusion away.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought. If everything's in order and we say, turn to page 863, well, there's no question what we're referencing at that point. It's just my thought. It's something that actually Florence Bender proposed to me yesterday. And just based on the nature of this, it seemed to make sense. But again, I really don't care one way or the other. It's just something that was brought up to me yesterday. I thought it made some sense, but I'll leave it up to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Ms. Fury, did you have other issues you wanted to discuss?
Yes, the best way to get materials to you, Your Honor, paper materials and copies of what we plan to submit as exhibits. Obviously, everything has been docketed, but I certainly can FedEx you a docket binder with the materials as we propose to have them marked, if that would be helpful.
Yeah, I think at some point I'm going to need, one hard copy of the exhibits and the documents.
Okay.
I know I already have 3 binders on my desk, but if there's going to be changes or number different or however, if there's any changes, then I'll need a hard copy of that.
Okay. And then with respect to Mr. Pranis, do you intend to call any witnesses or to submit any material? Just given the nature of that the hearing will now be held remotely, it would be helpful to have any written testimony if you intend to submit that at least a couple days prior to the hearing.
That's yes, and our plan would be to provide all of the pre-filed testimony prior to our next pre-conference. So, shooting for to close of business Tuesday, but definitely before we get on the phone Wednesday, we should have all that submitted.
Wonderful, thank you.
And I know regarding the motion to intervene, I haven't issued an order on that yet. I know Mr. Schmidt indicated that the commission takes no position regarding the motion, and if I missed it, I apologize, but Ms. Fury, does your client have a position on the motion to intervene?
No, Your Honor. No objection from Northern Divide Wind.
Okay. So I will issue an order granting the motion to intervene. It won't go out until Monday because I'm the only one in my office today. State offices are closed, so that won't go out till Monday. But the parties will know that it's going to be granted, so... All right. Is there anything else we need to discuss today? Ms. Fury, do you have anything additionally?
I don't have anything additional. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt?
I don't either. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Pranis, did you have anything else you wanted to discuss today?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Then I will note for the record, it is 10:30 a.m., and that will conclude our hearing for today, and we'll look forward to speaking again on Wednesday.